The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with everything up to date in Kansas City. Did yesterday's decision make the Chiefs impossible to beat? Meanwhile, so much on the line. Sunday in Pittsburgh, can revenge be part of the plot as this rivalry is renewed? And then it happened again. What the latest disaster for this legend means for his legacy and for his team. All that and more as we get up with you on a Football Friday starting right now. And we begin with breaking news just into our newsroom within the last hour. Our ESPN NFL insider Diana Russini is here. Diana, what do we have in Indianapolis?
Yeah, good morning. Indianapolis put out a statement today saying that they have several members of their organization that tested positive for COVID-19. They're rerunning those tests right now. They took those POC tests. Those are the kind of a fancy way to say those rapid tests. So they're administering those right now on those that had those positive COVID test results this morning. Now, I did speak with sources with Indy and with the league office in terms of what's the state of the game this Sunday? Because that always becomes the next question. It's Friday. We got a game in 2 days as they face the Bengals. And I was told the game is still on right now. They're just being very measured and very conservative about this. They obviously don't want to see a situation like we saw in Tennessee. So right now, Chris Ballard, the GM there, made the call. Let's shut the facility down, and we're going to work virtually all day long.
I remember you were sitting here with me last Friday when this happened with the Jets. They had the one test. They sent everybody home. They wound up playing the game on Sunday, so it is possible that this game will still be on.
Yeah, we saw in Atlanta yesterday there was one member of the staff that tested positive, and I was told they actually could have practiced yesterday, but we're at a point right now where nobody wants to take any risk. They want to be very cautious to make sure these games are played.
All right, so these are the realities of football in 2020. Meanwhile, speaking of football, what a weekend for the sport it should be, and it will begin tomorrow night with a huge matchup in college football. Number 3, Georgia, taking on number 2, Alabama. Bama has won each of the last 5 meetings. We know they'll do this one without their coach, Nick Saban. Then on Sunday, the 4-0 Steelers hosting the surprising 4-1 Browns. Cleveland looking to win 5 straight for the first time since 94. Belichick was their coach then. Rodgers, Brady meeting up for the 3rd time Sunday as starting quarterbacks. Brady won the most recent matchup in 2018. Rodgers won in 2014. And then we'll cap it off Monday night when Andy Dalton gets his first start with the Cowboys against the Cardinals in place of the injured Dak Prescott. So it should be a fabulous weekend of football, and it will start with this, the biggest NFL news of yesterday. Le'Veon Bell is a Chief. According to Shefty, he gets a 1-year deal. He'll have to go through 5 days of COVID protocols before joining the Chiefs. That means he won't play Monday night against Buffalo. We would imagine he will play Week 8. That is when the Chiefs will play the Jets. And our football squad is loaded on this Friday. We've got Rob Ninkovich. We've got Art Ryan Clark. And I will start with Bart Scott sitting here to my left. What is the most important thing in your mind, Bart, for Kansas City about this acquisition of Bell?
Well, I think what this gives him is gives Andy Reid, he has a little Brian Westbrook. This gives him a supersized Brian Westbrook, somebody that can help him in pass, third down. He's tremendous at that. He's also impossible if you go empty. Imagine the weapons that you have now with Sammy Watkins, with Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, and with Harmon or Sammy Watkins, and then you go empty and put him out as a receiver. He's going to barbecue chicken everybody out there, because guess what? You got to put a safety over the top of Kelce. You have to put a safety over the top in case Tyreek Hill gets behind. So now the 5th best defender on your squad is one-on-one with Le'Veon Bell, who's very capable, just like McCaffrey, to exploit all matchups in a bit of space. It's amazing.
You know, Ryan Clark, you were telling me this morning, we sit and we talk about the Chiefs as though they have an unstoppable offense, and at times they have, but candidly, they haven't this year. How does this change that? Mm.
It gives them their most diverse and versatile chess piece that this team has. And I know you look at Tyreek Hill and you see Travis Kelce and you feel like this team has so many pieces. Look at all these Pro Bowlers and all pros. None of them have the skill set that Le'Veon Bell has. None of them have the skill set that had Le'Veon Bell attempting to be paid as a wide receiver, a number 2 wide receiver, and a starting all-pro running back. And that's what this team has now. They now have a piece to not be so bored with. And we've watched this team go through lulls. You look at the second half against the Las Vegas Raiders, the first three quarters against the Los Angeles Chargers. They were looking for a spark, looking for a piece that they can move around. And Bart is exactly right. Are you going to take your safety off of Travis Kelce? Are you going to move a safety from over the top of Tyreek Hill? Or are you going to take your shot with one of your third or fourth best defenders on Le'Veon Bell? That's the decision that you will now have to make as a defensive coordinator playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire has done a great job, but he is not what he will be in the future. But Le'Veon Bell is already. Le'Veon Bell is already a star. Le'Veon Bell has dealt with moving these play pieces around. And think about this for Le'Veon. He's used to having A.B., Martavius Bryant. He has the Juju Smith-Schusters, the Ben Roethlisbergers. He's used to being a piece of a great collective. Now he has that as well. I think this is a great move for both pieces involved in this transaction.
I noticed you didn't mention any of the dynamic weapons he had as a member of the Jets, RC. I'll just sort of skip past that and move over to Rod Minkovich.
Well, like Le'Veon Bell, I want to forget that.
Rod Minkovich, I'll turn to you. Just how good does this make them? I mean, the Chiefs, we already consider them a Super Bowl team. Now you're playing defense against them. Should I use the word unstoppable? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, it adds a piece to the dynamic offense that the Chiefs are right now. And look, from Bell's first day with the Jets, there was tension with the head coach. And any time your head coach says something about the signing of one of your big-time players offensively, a guru supposed to be a guru on offense, and says something about the signing of Bell, that was just kind of the start of a bad relationship there. And I think that was never mended. It never came back together. So now Bell is going to a place where he's a piece of many different explosive pieces. And that head coach and Andy Reid is going to be able to put him in positions one-on-one versus linebackers, one-on-one versus safeties, to where he's going to expose people in defenses. So it's going to be really, really hard for a defense to prepare to go play the Chiefs now. And I think it's a perfect fit for Bell. He was in a position with the Jets where he was the guy and everybody's focus was on him, to now he's with the Chiefs. And there's a lot more focus of everybody else on that field. And he's going to be able to come in there and be successful. I think it makes the Chiefs pretty unstoppable to me. Yeah. So I think, I think they're unstoppable now.
Diana, what'd you hear?
Well, Chris Jones is one of his really good friends there, and he was sort of part of this recruiting process. Le'Veon Bell back on the free agency market again. And it always helps, right? When you have that voice in the ear of a veteran person who's been part of this Chiefs organization, who knows the culture, who can communicate to Bell, look, this is what it's like here. This is what you're going to love. This is what you're going to buy into. Right. And you know, it's hard to find anyone in that organization that doesn't want to be there. And also, you look back at Le'Veon Bell when he was with the Steelers as a pass catcher. He wasn't just good. He was the best running back as a passer, you know, as
in history,
receiving yards in history. And
correct.
You forget that. And I remember talking to Bell this summer. And look, he's known for saying, this is the hardest I worked. This is the hardest I've worked. But he seemed ignited. He was so psyched to have a good season, and it just wasn't going to work. This offense wasn't good for him, and this is going to be a great offense for him in Kansas City.
All right, so we will see. We will get our first look at him, we would assume, a week from Sunday. In the meantime, we turn our attention to some of the really big games this weekend, and we start with the Steelers and the Browns in Pittsburgh. This is a rivalry renewed, and of course there is revenge involved as well. The last time they were on the field, Myles Garrett swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph last November. Both teams have a combined record this year now of 8-1, so there's a lot more at stake than revenge. It's the highest combined win percentage in a matchup between these teams all time. And the question is, could the Browns be without Odell Beckham Jr.? Out of an abundance of caution, he was sent home from practice yesterday because of an illness. They said he did not test positive for COVID-19, but obviously that's one we'll be keeping a close eye on. Diana, I know you're covering that game this weekend, and I know you have some notes on the conversation the owners had, because there's all this, people will remember the moment with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, and what were they doing?
Yeah, there's so much drama going into this game because of what we saw last season. We heard Kareem Hunt say, we're playing this game for Myles Garrett. And I was told ownership from both teams had a phone conversation this week to set the tone of what they want this game to be, which will bleed into the coaching staff and then, of course, into the locker room, to just make sure that there's control, that this is just a rivalry, this is just a football game, and there's not going to be any revenge. And that message has been sent. And we heard both Kevin Stefanski and Mike Tomlin talk about this matchup here, and they seem to be pushing out and making sure it is just about football and nothing else.
So it has been 16 years since the Browns went into Pittsburgh and won a game. Ryan Clark, is this year they do it? Will they shock the world, upend the division, and beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh?
No, they're not. And I'm actually quite disgusted. I'm actually quite disgusted with you, Greeny, that you said this is a rivalry. Mm. Well, what usually happens in rivalries, and Bart's been a part of rivalries, and so has Nico, like sometimes the other team wins, and that's not what this has been. And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you're hoping at 4-1 on a four-game winning streak, this is the opportunity to win in Pittsburgh. But I don't think it is. And I think that's because right now one team is feeling fat and happy, and that's the Cleveland Browns. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though 4-0, when you get kind of the attitude around that building, they feel like they have to play better. This is a team that entered this season with Super Bowl aspirations, and quite frankly, they haven't played up to that level, especially defensively. So if you're a defense with Cam Haywood, TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, and you understand that your job first is to stop the run and then get after Baker Mayfield, that's the order in which you're doing it. That's the order in which Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler are teaching it. And I think that this team has something to prove, and what better way to go out and prove it and exact a revenge that the owners are talking about you can't exact than beating some team's butt that you feel wronged you last year. And I think that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers come out and do this weekend.
You are right. It's not a rivalry. It's a hammer and a nail don't have a rivalry. They have a relationship. Rob Ninkovich, who's the most important player on the field in this game Sunday?
Yeah, so the most important player for me, I think, is Myles Garrett. And if you're the Steelers, you got to make sure that you take care of him early with a back chipping him or a tight end staying in. He leads the NFL in pressure, and if you're Ben Roethlisberger, you do not want to have him breathing down your throat. Big Ben has 101 career fumbles. I mean, think about that stat, 101 career fumbles. So anytime we were playing the Steelers, we would say, look, let's get around Big Ben. He's going to try and make a play. So when he tries to stand in the pocket and take on guys and have somebody around his legs and still throw the ball down the field, that's when you can get the ball out. And I've been able to do it myself. When he is in the pocket trying to make a play, he's vulnerable for a strip sack. So for the Steelers to come out of here with a victory, they have to make sure that Myles Garrett does not create a strip sack, get to the quarterback often like he has been this whole season.
We knew he would be the center of a lot of attention. All right, much more on the NFL as we go. But as I told you, there is a monster college football game tomorrow night coming up. It is the first of the games of the century for this season. We're a day away from number 2 Alabama and number 3 Georgia. Bama facing the reality of playing this game without coach Nick Saban, who, as you know, tested positive for the coronavirus earlier this week. So let me bring Heather and Paul in to the conversation here. Heather Dinich, our insider, and Paul Feinbaum, the legend. Heather, what is the latest from Bama as they get set to take on the Georgia Bulldogs without their head coach?
Well, Greeny, honestly, it's hard to tell because Alabama has not been very forthcoming in letting the media or the public know the scope of Nick Saban's positive test as far as contact tracing goes throughout the team. And that is consistent with how Alabama has handled its test results during the coronavirus pandemic. It has not made those test results public. And the reason for that, I am told, is because of concerns for student health privacy issues, which is fair, but at the same time, there are emails from other schools like Florida and Clemson and Penn State who do release those numbers by team. Now, one other thing to remember is that if Nick Saban gets 3 straight negative PCR tests and remains asymptomatic, he can come out of isolation or quarantine and coach. But again, we don't know what his latest test results have been, so there are still some questions surrounding Alabama's program right now.
Okay, wait, so let's just do some math. So 3 straight. So he tested positive Wednesday. So in theory, if he tested negative, are there enough days for him to test negative in time for him to actually wind up being on the field for this game? Heather, I guess that's what I'm trying to ask you. Is that even a remote possibility?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because if he got a second test on Wednesday to confirm that original test, what was the result of that? So if there was a second test Wednesday, a test Thursday, and then a test Friday, what were the results of that? So I don't know. So I'm going to assume that he is positive and asymptomatic, but Who knows? Because Alabama doesn't say anything. But, of course, they'll let everyone know if he's coming back on Saturday.
And so, Paul, let's just live in a world where Steve Sarkisian is the coach for this game. How does that affect the outcome in your mind?
I think it could. Sarkisian is not exactly a Hall of Fame coach. He was a 500 coach at the University of Washington. He had one season and three games at Southern Cal before he was unceremoniously fired for appearing in at a booster event publicly drunk. So I'm not saying any of that connects to Saturday night, but he hasn't been a head coach since. He has been a coordinator, and he's been an outstanding offensive coordinator. All you have to do is watch the Alabama offense, but it's different calling the plays and making every single decision.
All right, I just have a funny feeling that we have not heard the last of this situation before the game kicks off. Guys, stay close if you would. We will come back to you for more. Meanwhile, we're not done with all the big news. How about baseball? We got Dodgers, Braves yesterday, game four in the NLCS, in 14 career starts against the Braves. Clayton Kershaw, 7-0 with a 1.49 ERA. But few of them have come in the postseason, and we know that is where the struggles have been. That was Marcell Ozuna crushing a home run in the fourth inning off of Kershaw, ties the game at one. Bottom of six, still tied. Runner at second, nobody out. Freddie Freeman at the plate. Freddie Freeman up the line. That's going all the way to the wall. Ronald Acuna Jr. will score. Braves take a 2-1 lead. Would they pull Clayton Kershaw? The answer is no. They leave him in the game. Was it the right decision? Ozuna at the plate? No, it was not. Ozuna to the gap in left center. That's an RBI double. Braves a 3-1 lead. Kershaw would leave. Gave up 7 hits, 4 earned runs in 5 innings. And then 3 batters later, Dansby Swanson looking to put this one away. Swanson with a 3-1 lead. Smashes that one up the line. That's a fair ball. One run will score. Here we go. Another play at the plate. No, not even going to be close. Second run scores easily. Braves up 5-1. They wind up opening up the commanding 10-2 win and a 3-1 series lead. And let's talk about it with the one, the only, Mark Teixeira. So, Tex, obviously, I mean, the headline here, the continued postseason struggles of Clayton Kershaw when his team needed it so badly last night. What do we say this morning?
Well, Greeny, unfortunately, Clayton Kershaw can't get rid of these postseason ghosts. I mean, he now has the highest career ERA of any pitcher that's thrown 100 innings in the postseason. And for as great as he's been in the regular season, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, hasn't gotten the job done. Now, a lot of people are going to say this was Dave Roberts' fault. The manager should have taken him out after the fifth inning. I have no problem with Clayton Kershaw coming back out in the sixth. The problem is he didn't look good in the sixth inning. The Acuna at-bat, he threw 3 balls into the dirt. Freddie Freeman hits an absolute laser to right field. You know, Carl Ravitch and Tim Kirch and I are watching this game in Bristol, and we're saying, take him out of the game. This is not a good matchup. Dave Roberts leads Clayton Kershaw in, gives up the big double, and the rest is history. Unfortunately, it seems like Dave Roberts leaves Clayton Kershaw in just long enough to lose the game.
And so that leaves them right now one win away, or one loss, I guess I should say, away from elimination. That's the National League story. Let's get to the American League championship story, where the Astros were one loss away from elimination. Rays and Astros playing game 5 last night. Let's roll that one again as we take a look at the American League game. Go ahead, Jen, roll the highlight, if you would be so kind, on the Rays and the Astros. Here we go. ALCS. Pick this up on the bottom of the first. George Springer is at the plate, and this is the first pitch that Springer would see. And it is the last time we would see that ball, 406 feet to left field. His 19th career postseason home run, tying Albert Pujols for the 4th most all time. Top of 8, Rays down 3-2. All of a sudden they've tied it. That's G-Man Choi, 447 feet off Josh James, tied up at 3. Bottom of 9, 1 out, game tied at 3. Do the Astros have a hero? Carlos Correa at the plate, and we'll see you tomorrow night. 416 feet to center off Nick Anderson. And just like that, the Astros have life. They're the 4th team ever to force a Game 6 after being down Love 3 in a postseason series. Correa and Dusty Baker sharing a moment on the field. Here's Correa on what he told his manager he was going to do.
You really want to know what I told him? I said, I told you. That's the exact words I use. I told him before going out I was going to end it.
And end it he did. And so, Mark Teixeira, let me come to you. How about that moment here? How about these Astros finding a way to pull this thing out?
Well, you may not like him, but you sure have to respect what Carlos Correa is doing in this postseason. He has taken this team on his shoulders. And man, he was looking for a home run there. He swung and missed at a curveball by about a foot pitched before. Then you get a fastball away, crushed it to center field. This Astros team cannot be counted out. And they have a lot of people rooting against them, but there's a lot of people that want to see the Astros continue to play the game because they're a lot of fun right now.
They're fun to watch. They've got life. Again, they're the fourth team ever to come from 3-0 down to at least force a game six. Mark Teixeira will get more from you as the morning continues. It's a late night. Thank you for getting up early. We have lots more to do as we get up with you on this Friday. Coming up, Lamar Jackson hasn't looked like an MVP. What is wrong with the Ravens' offense? They're talking about it, and we will too as we continue. And then Rob Ninkovich has seen firsthand how fired up Tom Brady can get on the sidelines. He has concerns about how that might be affecting Tom's new team. We'll talk about that and more as we get up with you on ESPN. Well, let's take a look at this. High school sophomore Arch Manning, the nephew of Peyton and Eli, playing on ESPN last night. RC, you know this school. You know this kid. What'd you think?
Listen, Arch Manning is a baller, already ranked with the tops of the country at the position and totally. But think about this high school. It's had Peyton, Eli, now Arch, Odell Beckham Jr., and Randy Livingston, who was the co-player of the year with Jason Kidd coming out of high school in basketball. This school has ballers. Arch is just another one.
He is the number one quarterback class of 2023. Meanwhile, speaking of number one quarterbacks, this Sunday it's Brady versus Rodgers. We'll explain who has the edge as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up NFL news with our insider Diana Russini, beginning in Atlanta. They had positive tests yesterday. Now I'm seeing the Colts here. What is the latest?
All right, so for the Falcons, it was a member of their staff. There was no players that tested positive, so they worked virtually. The theme this week around the league is everyone's going to just be very, very cautious. I am told, though, they should be back in their facility today, so good news there, Atlanta, as they're getting ready to play the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. And speaking of the Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Cook was out of practice yesterday. He's been dealing with this nagging groin injury. And I was told that they're going to be really cautious with him because they're facing the 0-5 Falcons, and they got a bye week, and then they got to play the Green Bay Packers. So look for second-year running back Alexander Mattison to get a lot of play in this game if Dalvin Cook were to be inactive, though, but it will be a game-time decision. And then finally, the Bengals, right? We made such a big fuss about how good Joe Burrow is, but where has AJ Green been? It hasn't exactly been a stellar season so far, and there were some videos circulating Greeny over the weekend that he was asking for a trade on the sidelines, that he wasn't too happy, and I was told that is not the case. In fact, Green came out yesterday saying he doesn't want a trade. In fact, he was at practice yesterday, and I spoke to a source there on the coaching staff, and he says all is good. We've got to figure out a way to get the ball to him.
All right, we will see. Again, they play a game this weekend against Indianapolis that now we have some concern, I suppose, about its status. Meanwhile, the game of the weekend, the matchup of the weekend, clearly is between those two legends, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, meeting for the third time as starting quarterbacks. Brady won the most recent matchup. That was in 2018. Rodgers won the first in 2014. Rodgers' 13 touchdown passes are the most by a quarterback without an interception so far this year. He is seeking to become the first player to throw multiple touchdowns with zero picks in each of the team's first five games. And Brady ranks fifth with 12 touchdowns this year through three and three picks in the first two games, has 9 touchdowns and just 1 interception since. Here's Brady on the state of his team right now.
I think guys are, you know, we're working hard. We're trying to make improvements. And like I said a few weeks ago, even when you win, you know, you're trying to learn and trying to get better, trying to improve, understanding that, you know, we're going to be working that way through the whole season. We just have the reality is just we haven't had a lot of time together, you know, so we're trying to make up for it. And every game is going to be valuable for us. And every practice is valuable and every walkthrough. So I think everyone's getting more comfortable and confident as the weeks go. But at the same time, we got to win these games.
That seems like a pretty reasonable and honest assessment. And Ryan Clark, we were talking this morning that last week against Chicago felt like a little bit of a setback. What are you seeing in this Bucs offense right now?
You're seeing that this Bucs offense isn't ascending as Tom Brady is getting more comfortable. And I think to me, that's troubling to have the ups and downs, the type of roller coaster season he's having individually and as an offense, that scares you. Let's look at the two games that Tom Brady was pressured at least 10 times, the New Orleans Saints and the Chicago Bears. Both of those games were losses for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both of those games came with huge mistakes for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensively. And you just can't have that. If this is a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl, you need healthy weapons. There's no Godwin. Mike Evans is banged up. O.J. Howard is out for the season. And now we're going to have to see Tom Brady make some things happen with a little lesser arsenal than we expected. And so this is going to be a huge week. What he can do with Preston and Za'Darius Smith, what he can do with that back end of the Green Bay Packers is important, because if they lose this game, I believe it's time to press the panic button in Tampa Bay. They had a great opportunity to take hold of the NFC South, and they aren't doing that. They've now fallen back to the pack, and if the Packers win this week, I think there's big trouble in Tampa Bay.
I agree. And let me, Ninko, you were making a very interesting point as a longtime teammate of Tom Brady's about what you were seeing a little bit on the sideline as he has been yelling, which is something we've seen before, but it feels different now to you. Why is that?
Yeah, well, I think this is a first for Tom in a sense that this Tampa team lacks discipline. And when you have a game like last week where you have nine penalties, that affects you offensively. You can't win a football game when you lead the league basically in penalties. And they're way up there in penalties this year. So you see some of these unnecessary roughness stuff. I think their center headbutted somebody after a big 15-yard gain. And as Tom starts to bark like he is on the sidelines right now, people see that and they hear it. But when you start to do that over and over and over again, it becomes kind of mute and people just kind of tune it out. And Tom is not used to having guys that aren't disciplined, that aren't making the right choices, that aren't aware of different things that are going on in a certain game at a certain point in the game where it's a must-have. And you see these plays happening, and it's pretty frustrating for Tom. You see that in his face. You see that in his reactions. And for him to move forward and that team to move forward and to be a winning team, they got to get better. They got to be more disciplined. They got to stop holding. They got to make the right decisions when they have to go out there and make a drive down the field, 12, 10-play drive, without bringing it back for holding. So for me, it's the first time that I've seen him this frustrated this early in the season.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, you can see him sort of looking around like, hey, Bill's teams never did any of this stupid nonsense. Why are we getting involved in this? You've played against him so many times on good defenses. What are you seeing from Brady and his offense right now?
Well, I see an identity crisis, Greeny. What I see is a team that's trying to figure out what their philosophy is going to be about is the marriage between Bruce Arians' offense and Tom Brady, what he likes to do. We saw that when Peyton Manning went out to Denver. I think all is well. It's part of the process. Whenever you go to a new team, you have to treat them, teach them how they can be motivated, teach them how to be professionals. He was brought there to teach them how to be champions. And I think they're going to give him the respect that the GOAT deserves, and they're going to figure it out. You talk about what they have to do going against Green Bay this week. Well, Green Bay gives up 4.6 yards a carry. I think a healthy dose of Leonard Fournette, a healthy dose of Ronald Jones, I think sometimes when you have so many weapons on the outside, we get too cute and we try and throw to these weapons where understanding everything is set up from the physicality. Listen, Green Bay defense is always great on the outside. How do you stop that pass rush? Run the football. How do you protect Tom Brady? Run the football. Set up play action down the field to those big weapons. That's how he's always been effective at every Patriots team that he's ever been a part of.
In the meantime, I've got these three defensive players with me today. We've asked each of you to select a moment in which you were facing one of these legendary quarterbacks. And Rob Ninkovich, we will start with you. A game against Aaron Rodgers. What do you remember?
Yeah, so we played in Lambeau 2014, and I had the pleasure of being the mirror guy. So I have to make sure Aaron Rodgers doesn't get out of the pocket and doesn't scramble for first downs. Well, do you know how hard that is to make sure that he doesn't scramble for a first down? So on a particular play, I was looking at Aaron Rodgers and his blue eyes that you could see from about 20 yards away, his beautiful blues, were looking at me. He gave me a little wink, and I was a little nervous. I was like, why is he winking at me like this? Because he knew that I was the mirror guy. And I missed the tackle. He ran for the first down, came off the field. Bill was screaming at me, Jesus, and then I got off the field. So Then I wasn't the mirror guy. So that was my story. I was the mirror guy, then I wasn't the mirror guy.
I'm always here for your Belichick impression. Give me a little clean version of what it sounds like when Bill Belichick is mad at you when you're coming to the sideline.
I mean, come on, Rob. What are we doing? That's it. That's basically it.
RC, so you're not the only one. You're not the only one who has a cocky Aaron Rodgers story against you.
Hey, absolutely not. You know what? I'm happy that Rob was able to share that. Because even when we were on the call this morning, I was like, I'm not reliving the Super Bowl moment anymore. Because Aaron actually acknowledged that it happened, just in a different way than I saw it. And Tom beat us so many times, I wasn't even going to talk about the couple of good moments we had.
Okay, fair enough. Meanwhile, I have a poll question today. It's up on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny, and it's an interesting one. We were having this conversation with the staff yesterday. If Aaron Rodgers had played his whole career, 20 years in New England, how many championships would he have won? Would it be three or fewer? Would it be 4 to 6? Would it be more than the 6 that Brady has won? A lot of people voting early. Cast your vote at ESPN Greeny. We'll check in on this a little later in the program. Meanwhile, let's check in on these. So more or less is looking ahead to this weekend. Le'Veon Bell, RC, more or less than 1,000 scrimmage yards in the 10 games he will play for Kansas City.
It's going to be less, but those moments and those yards that he does get are going to be impactful. They're going to change this team and the way that they play offense, and they're going to help win football games. And that's what's most important for Le'Veon Bell. The numbers may not jump off of the screen, but the way that he gets them, the way that he's utilized, and what happens because of them will be important.
Rob Ninkovich, more or less than 50.5 rushing yards for Cam against Denver.
I mean, Cam's hungry right now, so I got to go with more on this one. Look, he wasn't able to play because of the COVID stuff. He was hungry this year anyway because everyone was counting him out. So he's going to go out there. He's going to run around. I think he's going to run for 75 yards. I'm going
75.
Over.
So Ninko goes over, and then Bart, I come to you, more or less than 1.5 stiff arms for Derrick Henry against Houston.
That's so disrespectful right there. That man got a family. I'm going to go more because, listen, he's an equal opportunist bully. And, listen, it couldn't happen to a better person. I was excited to see Josh Norman get thrown out the club because he's not 21, and he had on a T-shirt. I tell you what. Listen, he's an equal opportunist, man. I tell you what. Anybody can get it. When he gets to the second level, you got to be in trouble. Guys are making business decisions.
Yeah, we put that in literally just to have a cheap excuse.
The Patrick Beverly of football.
One
couldn't
more
have
time.
To a better guy, Josh.
We will take a short break as we go. Lamar and the Ravens are 4-1. They're a half a game behind Pittsburgh in the division, but all is not well. They are talking about it in Baltimore, and we will too next. Plus, an enormous weekend in Vegas. What could be the fight of the year? We'll get you ready for that and more as we get up with you on ESPN. NBA yesterday, Ty Lue has agreed to a 5-year deal to become the next coach of the Clippers. Lue will replace Doc Rivers, who had coached the team for the last 7 seasons, is now the head coach of the 76ers. Meanwhile, in Houston, Rockets general manager Daryl Morey stepping down effective November 1st. Morey and the team announced that yesterday. According to Woj, Morey is expected to be replaced by Rockets executive VP of basketball operations Raphael Stone. And then from college football, Saturday's game between number 8 Cincinnati and Tulsa has been postponed because of positive COVID cases at Cincinnati and the quarantining of athletes at the school. That game has been rescheduled for Saturday, December 5th at Tulsa. Meanwhile, we have college football tomorrow on ESPN. 11th-ranked Texas A&M following up last week's big win over Florida with a visit to Mississippi State and Mike Leach's air raid offense. That's tomorrow, 4 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Back to the NFL. The 2019 Ravens, that's last year, they set the single-season rushing record, and their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, had a whole bunch of those yards and won the MVP unanimously. But the offense has not come quite as easily this year, and Mark Ingram was talking about that earlier this week.
We know that we haven't played our best as an offense yet, and we're striving for excellence. We're striving for better execution. We're striving for to have a complete 60-minute game, and we're striving to, you know, make sure we have our best football game coming up here on Sunday against the Eagles. We have to get better in order to get to where we want to go, which is to be champions. So, yeah, the 2020 Ravens are still working on our identity, and we're still working to be the best possible versions of ourselves.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
And clearly their version of themselves this year has been off a little bit from last year. They're scoring 4 fewer points per game, and they're running the ball less. They ran the ball 56% of their plays last year, 49% this year. And Bart Scott, that's where I want to start with you. I've heard a lot of people suggest they're trying to force the passing game this year because they felt that that's something that has been missing. Is that what you see, and do you think it's a problem?
Well, what happens is when you're in the third year of a system, it's so much film, and you're able to get tails on offenses. Who was in what position? Who's in the backfield? What does that mean when you know, you think about the different running backs? I think what they really have to do is go out and get him a weapon. They spent a multitude of money on the defensive side of the ball, bringing in all those corners, bringing in Max Judon. They have to go out there and maybe make a trade for A.J. Green. I'll call Atlanta and say, hey, is Julio Jones available? Because it looks like they're going to tear that thing down. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to really have strong consideration and conversations about bringing Antonio Brown into the fold after his week 8 suspension. They need another dynamic weapon on the outside. When you have a tight end based offense to get your explosive plays, you're too easy to defend. And they get exploited when they go against the better teams who can put numbers up on offense and then also can play a certain style of defense to be able to contain Lamar Jackson. And if this offense goes down by more than 2 scores, then they have to come out of that identity, and they don't have the weapons to push the ball down the field.
That's really interesting take. Let me bring Ninkovich in here. And Bob, I know what a huge fan you are of Lamar Jackson. We talked about it a lot this summer. What have you seen from that offense?
Look, I think I'm not hitting the panic button. They're 4-1 and they're scoring 4 points less. I think they're going to get things together and roll in the right direction. I also think that on the flip side of things, when you're preparing for an offense like the Ravens, the first time you go against a team like the Ravens, it's kind of shocking at how they're able to operate and the way that they run the football, the RPOs, the quarterback speed. When you don't see a quarterback that fast, basically ever, It's pretty tough to defend. So you're seeing these teams play them for the second, third time. There's tape out there, like Bart said. These other teams are watching the tape. They're looking into, okay, what do we need to do here? How do we stop this offense? And I also think that the Ravens at this point just aren't executing like they the way that they did last year. And a little bit could be Lamar dealing with a knee or dealing with something that affects his speed and his ability to run around and scramble. So maybe he does want to force the ball in some situations and throw it down the field. But I'm not panicking. I don't think that it's the time yet. They're 4-1, plenty of time here to still progress. And they didn't have an offseason like everybody else. So we're seeing some teams struggle early in the season. I think because they didn't have time like they would have last year in training camp, OTAs, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I think they'll be fine. I believe in Lamar. I believe in him.
He's not panicking. Are you panicking?
I am. And listen, this isn't an excuse for them because they're a team that's been together. They've been in this offense for 3 years, so they didn't have to learn new terminologies. They added weapons to that offense. What happens is, and Rob, you experienced this in New England. The first time you saw the Wildcat, I mean, your head was spinning. And then you slowed it down and you said, okay, if this guy, if they get this formation, or if this guy's that running back, or if this guy's that receiver, if Ricky Williams lines up here, then that means this. This means speed option. And then what happens is it slows down for you. You're able to defend it. They have to get a more dynamic weapon that can spread and open this offense up because they can't win every game in a phone booth. And if they get behind, they have the inability to come back.
I tell you what, they get A.J. Green or Julio Jones or Antonio Brown. That makes the whole thing very interesting. Much more on the NFL coming on this Football Friday. But the wait is almost over for one of the biggest fights of the year. WBO and WBA lightweight champ Vasily Lomachenko taking on IBF champ Teofimo Lopez on ESPN tomorrow night. And earlier this week, I had a quick chance for a chat with Lopez in advance of the biggest fight of his life.
And we are pleased to welcome Teofimo Lopez back to Get Up. Tia, a pleasure to see you again. I know it's obviously a huge week for you, so we thank you for taking the time. Let's start with the most simple of questions. Why do you dislike Lomachenko as much as you do?
Well, thank you guys for having me back again. Most importantly, the reason why I think that it's just I don't like him. I have my reasons. You know, judge not, let's be judged first. That's how I look at it. And I have my reasons why. I've been around Lomachenko personally, and reason why I don't like him, I mean, he gave me my reasons to not like him. And on top of that, man, it's just, it's time to dethrone the guy that everybody keeps saying that's the pound for pound.
Well, so you're still so young and early in your career. Why take a fight of this magnitude against this opponent right now?
I mean, why not? I'm in the boxing world for a reason. I mean, this is the fight game, you know, fight the best of the best, man. And I consider myself the best of the best. In order to prove that and to show that, you know, you got to fight the likes of fighters like Lomachenko and anyone else that they want to consider the pound for pound. And that's just who I am. I look back at from the 80s, from the 70s, from the 90s. Great world champions fighting each other. They didn't care about anything but to, just proving to the world and to themselves that they are the best in their division. And that's what it comes to. And that's why October 17th, you guys are going to expect fireworks.
Dio, a lot of people have been afraid of Lomachenko for the course of a long time. Why should Lomachenko be afraid of you?
Because I don't fear no man. You know what I mean? And I think the honesty, what it comes down to, man, is really I'm young, I'm hungry. I'm strong, I'm fast, I'm smart, smarter than a lot of people think out there, and I can't wait to display that October 17th. I'm the bigger guy when it's all said and done, but on top of that, man, I have everything and more to become one of the best of this era.
You will see it right here on ESPN. That is well sold. Tio, it's always a pleasure to see you. We're all excited for this. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you guys for having me, and don't forget, man, the takeover.
We'll see him go for it tomorrow night. One of the big fights of the year. Lopez taking on the top pound for pound in Lomachenko. A lightweight title unification bout. Coverage starts tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, some terribly sad news to share with everybody. Vaughn McClure, who covered the Falcons for ESPN, died this week at his home near Atlanta. He joined us at ESPN in 2013. He covered that team for 8 seasons, including the year they made that run to the Super Bowl. Our own Chris Mortensen remembered his colleague and friend by saying that McClure was a pro. He was humble, diligent, loving, caring, faithful, and much more. We certainly send our condolences to his family and his friends. Vaughn McClure was 48 years old. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.